The following podcast has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
Hey, how's it going? This is WWE's Lita, and you're listening to Perched on the Top Rope.
Welcome, everyone, to Perched on the Top Rope. I am your host, former Dirt Sheet writer from Ringside News, Daily DDT, Sports Kita, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Lee Walker. And Clash in Paris is this Sunday. For most of you, the start time for most countries, United States, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Central Time. And for those on the West Coast, it is 11 p.m. specific time. For the UK, it'll be 7 p.m. Sunday. For India, it'll be 11 p.m. on Sunday. Most of Canada, 2 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. Australia, 4 a.m. on Monday. Saudi Arabia, 9 p.m. on Sunday. And for France, it's set for 8 p.m. Now, this card, folks, is also the last time we will see John Cena perform, not just in France, but also in Paris. This is his last event, and this is also the last main roster PLE and live streaming event to air on Peacock in the United States, as the PLEs will begin airing on ESPN's direct-to-consumer streaming service with September's WrestlePalooza. Now, the WWE Clash in Paris PLE has six matches scheduled. There was a canceled match, and that was Stephanie Vaquer taking on Naomi for the Women's Championship. However, we had seen that due to maternity leave, Naomi had to relinquish the title as she is pregnant. So what happened was at the all-women's event Evolution, Stephanie Vaquer won the Evolution Battle Royal to win a shot at the Women's World Championship at Clash in Paris. Obviously, the next night on Raw, it was confirmed it would be for the Raw Women's World Championship. Subsequently, at SummerSlam, the following month, Naomi retained the title, thus confirming that it would be Naomi defending against Stephanie Vaquer at Clash in Paris. However, on the August 18th episode of Raw, Naomi relinquished the title due to maternity leave, as Naomi announced on Stephanie McMahon's podcast with Jimmy Uso that she was pregnant with her first child. Now, the following week, Raw General Manager Adam Pearce announced that there would not be a match for the vacant World's Championship at Clash in Paris. Instead, Vaquer would challenge a to-be-announced opponent at a later date to determine a new champion. That's all the details we have so far, so it's a waiting game to see what's going to happen, who Stephanie will face for the WWE Women's World Championship for the Raw brand. That was a match I think everybody was excited to see. Naomi's character has developed so well, and it's been unlike the other things that she has done in WWE. We're no longer feeling the glow. It's caution, folks. And with that being said, with that canceled match, we have six great matches on the card, and I'm going to break down every match, how we got to where we got, and I'm going to give my prediction. And I'm going to start first with the WWE Tag Team Championship match, as the Wyatt Six, Joe Gacy, and Dexter Lumis take on the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. So just how did we get here for this match? Well, it all started back on July 11th on an episode of SmackDown, when the Wyatt Six defeated the Street Profits to win the WWE Tag Team Championship. Now, after that, the Street Profits vowed they would regain their championship, and they competed in a six-pack ladder match for the titles at Night 2 of SummerSlam, where Gacy and Loomis did retain. Now, after that, on August 15th episode of SmackDown, both Mello Don't Miz, Carmelo Hayes, and The Miz, a new tag team, and the Street Profits won their respective tag team matches. Well, the next week, again, they won their matches, and on August 29th, the winners of the Street Profits versus Mello Miz would then face the World Tag Team Championship against Loomis and Gacy. It was there that the Wyatt Six, Loomis, Gacy, Uncle Howdy, Eric Rowan, and Nikki Cross distracted The Miz. This gave the Street Profits the win to face Loomis and Gacy for the championship at Clash in Paris. And this past Friday on SmackDown, we were actually seeing Bo Dallas, not Uncle Howdy, as Bo Dallas had approached the Street Profits and seemingly kind of yet again teased a possibility of another breakup between Dawkins and Montez Ford. And this has been teased multiple times in the past, and it's never happened. Based off the teasing of this, I'm highly suggesting that the Street Profits do not win, and we have, and still, your WWE Tag Team Champions, the Wyatt Six. Especially considering that the Wyatt Six have this new theme park ride coming out, I expect that with them holding the Tag Team Championships is going to go well into Halloween, because that's what the ride is. It's about the Wyatt Six. It's kind of like a creepy horror ride. So I'm going with the Wyatt Six to retain the Tag Team Championships. In our next match, we have the Women's Intercontinental Championship, Becky Lynch, defending against the recently returned Nikki Bella. And on August 4th on Raw, Becky Lynch gloated over her successful defense of the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam before being interrupted by Nikki Bella, who called Lynch a disappointment after some exchange of words and Becky Lynch really getting the better of Nikki Bella with insulting her over her ex-husband, John Cena, not the other one. And in the end, Becky Lynch punches Bella. 2 weeks later, Becky Lynch successfully defends her title, not only against Maxine Dupri, but also the following week against Natalia, who had taken issues with Lynch after her disrespect to Nikki Bella. Which, after that match, Lynch attacked Natalia, but Bella appeared to make the save. And on the next episode, Bella and Lynch engaged in another verbal confrontation, which Bella would challenge Lynch for a match with the title on the line. And at first, Lynch refused. However, Lynch would eventually agree to battle against Bella at Clash in Paris. I don't know what the angle here is. I don't know what the payoff is going to be for either person. My personal belief is Becky has held the title for a very short time. It hasn't been that long. But, you know, it is a mid-card title for the women on Raw, but I don't really feel like this title has been elevated or lifted enough. I thought Lynch would be the person to do that. My personal opinion is I don't think Nikki Bella is the person to do it either. However, I want to say that Becky Lynch retains, but I'm also leaning towards Nikki Bella winning the Women's Intercontinental Championship. So, since I am so distraught over this one, I'm going to flip a quarter. All right, I called it in my head, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going with Becky Lynch retains the Women's Intercontinental Championship. That's right, I flipped a coin for that. Ladies and gentlemen, our next match is a one-on-one match, as it will be Roman Reigns taking on Bronson Reed, who will have his manager, Paul Heyman, by his side. And how did we get here? That is going to take us back to Survivor Series War Games in November of 2024, when Roman Reigns and Bronson Reed were both part of the men's War Games match, where Reigns' team defeated Reed's team. Reed would take a hiatus so that he could heal from an injury he sustained in the match, while Reigns would go on to main event night one of WrestleMania 41 in April of 2025. This is where Reigns was defeated by Seth Rollins in a triple threat match that also involved CM Punk after Paul Heyman betrayed Reigns and Punk, both people he used to manage, and he sided with Seth Rollins. Two nights later on Raw, Braun Breaker joined Rollins in Heyman's alliance and attacked Reigns, taking him out indefinitely. Now, during this time, we had Saturday night's main event, where Reed was also recruited into Rollins' group. Reigns would return on July 14th on Raw to save Punk and his cousin Jey Uso from a post-match assault from Reed and Breaker. Rollins and Uso defeated both Reed and Breaker in a tag team match of night one at SummerSlam. And two nights later on Raw, Reigns was viciously attacked by Rollins' group, as they are now known as The Vision. With Reed stealing Reigns' shoes after the assault, it's been something Reed has been doing for the last couple of weeks. And 2 weeks later, on August 18th, Reed and Rollins attempted to interfere in an Extreme Rules match. But
what if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Between Jey Uso and Braun Breaker, only for Reigns to come out and stop them. He helped Uso defeat Braun Breaker, and after that, Reigns challenged Reed to a match at Clash in Paris, to which Reed accepted. The match was made official by Raw General Manager Adam Pearce, and here we are. I do not, and I will repeat this, I do not see Bronson Reed defeating Roman Reigns. My money is going to be on Roman Reigns for this match. And our next match is a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match between Sheamus and Rusev. Now, if you haven't been following this, then you have missed a lot of brawls, because this dates back to May 26th on Raw, when Rusev defeated Akira Tozawa. Rusev would continue the attack on Tozawa until Sheamus made the save. 3 weeks later, both Rusev and Sheamus competed in a King of the Ring tournament in a Fatal 4-Way qualifying match, which neither man won. They would face each other one-on-one on an episode of Raw on June 30th, where Rusev won. A rematch took place July 21st that Sheamus won. A third match between both men took place on August 4th, which ended in a double countout. And on August 18th, on Raw after several confrontations, several brawls, backstage, in the ring, you name it. Raw general manager Adam Pearce announced that Sheamus and Rusev would face each other in a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match. If you don't know what a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match is, well, fans, it is a no-disqualification hardcore match where large wood barrels of Irish brandy and shillelaghs will be made available around the ringside. The first time a match like this took place was July 29th, 2022 on SmackDown, when Sheamus and Drew McIntyre competed in the first match, which McIntyre won. Now, this wouldn't be the first time or the last time we would see this match. A tag team match later took place on Extreme Rules, as it was the Brawling Brutes, Sheamus, Pete Dunne, and Ridge Holland taking on Imperium of Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser, and Giovanni Vinci, who's no longer in the company. That match was won by the Brawling Brutes, and this has seemingly been associated to be the signature match for Sheamus. So there's your little lesson on what that match is. And in these matches, Sheamus is one-on-one. They had really been pushing Rusev when he first came back, that originally he was going to be this guy who took these talents who seemingly beaten down this and that, and he's going to lift them up. He's going to break their spirits and turn them into the monsters that they should be and things like that. And we haven't really seen that side of that storyline at all besides this one little fraction with Sheamus. Because if you remember, Rusev had come back and started just taking out people like Akira Tozawa, Otis, things that he'd thought, you know, guys who should be better than what they're doing. Now, I'm not really sure where to go with this one. I'm just going to say that this match, Rusev wins. Rusev wins. Rusev crushes. Maybe we see Lana reappear, cause a distraction. Who knows? Who knows? But our next match is for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship as your champion, Seth Rollins, leader of the Vision, being led by Paul Heyman. In a fatal four-way match, we'll take on CM Punk, Jey Uso, and L.A. Knight. Yeah! Now, I'm sure you're wondering how we got here. Well, this dates back to June, when Seth Rollins began feuding with L.A. Knight, as both were competing in the Money in the Bank ladder match, to which we saw Seth Rollins win the briefcase after his stablemates Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed interfered. And Knight and Rollins continued feuding, leading to a match at Saturday night's main event, where Knight won after Rollins seemingly injured his knee. After that, Breakker competed in a number one contenders gauntlet match for the World Heavyweight Championship for a match at SummerSlam, and during the match, Breakker eliminated all the competitors, including Knight and Jey Uso, who also had his own problems with Rollins' group since WrestleMania 41. However, Breakker was eliminated by Rollins' longtime rival CM Punk, who earned the title match. On night one of SummerSlam, Uso teamed with his cousin Roman Reigns to defeat Breakker and Reed in a tag team match, while later that night in the main event, Punk won the World Heavyweight Championship, only for Seth Rollins to appear and reveal that he had not injured his knee, and he cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase and cashed in on CM Punk to win the World Heavyweight Championship. On the following night of Monday Night Raw, Rollins' group revealed their new name as The Vision, and later that evening, Knight faced Rollins for the championship with Breakker and Reed banned from ringside. It ended in a disqualification win for Rollins after Punk attacked him. Now, the Vision would get the upper hand on Punk and Knight, 3-on-2 attack. Kind of see how that one's going. In the following episode of Raw, Punk and Knight defeated Breaker and Reed by disqualification after Rollins attacked Punk. Uso then appeared to help Knight and Punk brawling with the Vision, and the Raw general manager, Adam Pearce, then announced that Rollins would defend his championship against Punk, Knight, Uso in a fatal four-way match at Clash in Paris. And if you watched Raw this past week, you would see that Roman Reigns told Jey Uso not to trust CM Punk, and at one point CM Punk and LA Knight are in the ring together, and it seemed like Punk and Uso were going to do a little two-on-one on LA Knight, which subsequently did happen. However, after, Jey Uso would yeet and super kick CM Punk in the face. And if you want some Steiner math here, folks, you have a fatal four-way match, four men. Each man has a 25% chance of winning. However, if you take the fact that Seth Rollins will have Paul Heyman in his corner, and we cannot forget about the fact that he also has Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. So the fact that he's coming down with an extra person, that gives him, I would say, an extra 25% chance. So now that leaves everybody else at a 16.6% chance of winning. But wait, let's add in the fact that we both and everybody here knows that Seth Rollins at some point will have Bron Breakker and will have Bronson Reed be part of the equation. So now that brings him to 100% and everybody else is at zero. But we could see Roman Reigns interfere for Jey Uso, which would bring Jey Uso back up to 16.67%, which would then bring Seth Rollins to an 83.33% chance of winning this match. So, ladies and gentlemen, hashtag and still WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins. And folks, that leaves us with just one more match. The man who's making his last appearance for WWE in France, John Cena, is taking on Logan Paul. Now, this all started at Money in the Bank on June 7th when a villainous John Cena and Logan Paul teamed together in a losing effort. On SmackDown on August 8th, after turning face the previous week, a now heroic Cena reflected over his career and subsequently issued an open challenge to which, of all people, it was answered by Logan Paul. And after an exchange of words, Cena wanted to face Paul on that night's episode. However, Logan Paul refused, instead challenging Cena to a match at Clash in Paris, which obviously Cena accepted. Now, some shots were thrown, like Cena referring to Logan Paul's lawsuits. Well, I necessarily don't see John Cena losing this match with this being his retirement tour and everything. If he does, I am going to assume we're going to see Brock Lesnar cause interference and cause Logan Paul to win. But I'm still going to go with John Cena because there's been no word if Brock Lesnar's there. There's been no sightings of Brock Lesnar. So I'm going to assume Brock Lesnar's not there, which has me going with, and your winner, John Cena. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Perched on the Top Rope. You can find us anywhere and everywhere podcasts are found, from Google, Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Podbay, Red Circle. Anywhere you can get a podcast, you can find Perched on the Top Rope. And for everyone who's kept us on those wrestling podcast rankings, thank you. You can also find us on YouTube at youtube.com/perchedonthetoprope or youtube.com/perchedonthetoprope. Doesn't make any difference. Anyway, you can also find us at Facebook with over 24,000 followers strong, facebook.com/perchedonthetoprope. We are on Instagram and Threads at Perched on the Top Rope Podcast. You can find us on Blue Sky and X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. It's Perched Top Rope because Perched on the Top Rope was too long. You can also find us on TikTok. It's Perched on the Top Rope. And we have hilarious Selena scenes because My Heart Will Go On makes everything better. And with that being said, folks, remember, spoiler free's the way to be. I'm out.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.